Lamentations chapter 3. I hope everybody had a good day today, and we just give you a quick update before we dive into the Word. We had a good visit. Many of you were praying for the doctor's visit today, and it went very well, as well as it could, I guess. And got to see little Jennings' heart beating healthfully, and saw some legs and arms kicking around. And a little enthusiastic little fella or girl. I don't know which one, but I just feel weird calling it an it. So I just call it a boy until we find out otherwise. And but seems healthy. And we're just so thankful. We're rejoicing in the Lord for this precious little gift. And hopefully we will find out soon what gender it'll be. But it'll probably be at least a couple weeks, few weeks. And we'll wait for that time as well. But continue to pray for Joanna. She still has that some morning sickness that she's working through, and it's actually kind of weird, because the morning sickness actually is the strongest in the evening, and for her. And some of the other ladies may see you nodding your head. You could relate when you had your children, but nevertheless. She's tough, and she's working through it, so hopefully here real soon to get to feeling better. I know she appreciates your prayers. Well, tonight we're going to be continuing part two, the way back, getting our way back. And I want to say right off the beginning here, Brother Mark, you were right last week. You mentioned when we mentioned the chart. I don't know if we have that chart available. But we were seeing the root of all of our problems, our sin problems, starts with the sin of unbelief, having the wrong understanding and belief of who God is. That goes down to discontent. That splits off to either anxiety or anger or both, and then that ends to despair. And so what we want to do, and what I believe Jim Berg has so well written, he's just this study, Quieting a Noisy Soul, is now we're at that part where he's teaching us how to get back to the place where we are trusting God, where we are believing the Lord for who He is. And this is session 9. If you don't have a handout, would you raise your hand? We have them available. Mr. Ralph, can we get a couple guys here? Anybody else need a handout? You can get you a prayer sheet too. Everyone should have an outline. Should have an outline there. All right. Let's look in our Bibles there at Lamentations chapter 3, and I'll begin reading in verse 21. Now, I encourage y'all to do this, but this 21, if you could underline this in your Bible, or at least put a little mark by it, it's just so foundational. Notice verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Note the connection. His mind, his hope. And as we have studied and thought about, you know, all the where it begins, the battle begins in the mind and in the thinking of who we think God is, and who we think He is in all of His attributes, or who do we think He's not, actually, is where we can get in trouble. But this is the most important thing. We need to recall to my mind about what? There have I hope. What brought Jeremiah this hope in the midst of misery, if you will, being a state of just being miserable? Well, it says verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Again, these are such precious verses that you could underline and commit to memory. They're encouraging, they're uplifting, they're strengthening. I just think of that one phrase there, the Lord is my portion. You know what I believe He's saying there? A phrase that we've learned together recently from this study. And what is that? It is that God Himself is more than enough for me. Let's say that together. God Himself is more than enough for me. And that's what he's saying here. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. And then verse 25. The Bible says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and, what is that next word, church? Quietly. Not noisily, not loudly, but quietly, as we've been learning how to quiet our souls before the Lord, wait for the salvation or deliverance of the Lord. And so tonight, again, with God's help, I want to emphasize this attribute. And again, this is a study written by Brother Jim Berg. And this is Session 9, Beholding the God of Faithfulness. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Lord, I pray You'd open our hearts and illumine our minds to the truth of Your Word tonight. And may You get all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, we need to meditate upon this passage of Scripture. It is so rich and so encouraging, as I have said. It shows us, as we understand the context of Lamentations, it was a great time of grieving. And for Jeremiah, the brokenness of the nation of Israel and just his heart being grieved on what he knew was happening. But yet God encouraged him. But how did he get to that point of encouragement? Well, he started thinking upon who God is. And what I believe is what we need to understand is that we need to have a fixed point always on who God is. Because we easily get off track. We easily go wayward in our lives. And so what is it that can help us stay on track and as we're thinking about God? Well, I think this very attribute of His, faithfulness. You know, one of the things I love doing, and even, you know, I love boating. Of course, it was in the Coast Guard, enjoyed that, navigating. But even just going out to the lake for recreation is a fun thing, taking the boat out. One of the things I like doing is letting the kids drive. And, they love it. All right. And so you get them up in the lap or either you just in the next seat. But one of the things I recently remembering that I tried to do with Thomas when he got him in my lap, I would always try to teach him that, buddy, you need to find, because otherwise they'd be all over the place. I said, buddy, you need to find a fixed landmark. Okay, so here, I want you to go that direction, and you see that house way over there. All right, or you see that buoy that's way over there, you know, and so something that was fixed, I would teach him that. It took him a while to get to it, but now I think he's finally getting it. I said, you want to keep your bow, the tip of your boat, you want to keep it right on that mark until I tell you to turn. Okay, so that would help him. I wouldn't have to sit there all along. Okay, necessarily. All right, turn back, turn this way. He's starting to learn, and that's because it's a fixed point. And church, if we're going to remain steady, okay, and if we're going to remain faithful, we have to keep our eyes on the all-faithful God. He never changes. And, you know, it would be bad for me. All right, Thomas, you see that boat coming down the river? Keep your eye on that. That's the worst thing you do. Don't drive towards that boat. You know, that's a moving object, okay? And that's not a fixed position. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, church, what we do is we get our eyes on moving objects. And we can get overwhelmed because it's not on the faithfulness of God. We need to stay on course. And the way we do that is we fix our eyes on the Lord. Notice with me, number one, in your outline, the question that Brother Jim Berg poses here, the first in letter A, says here, what does it mean that God is faithful? What does that mean? Well, he describes it here as faithfulness is a subset of immutability, which is just means unchangeable, that God does not change. Now, we do, don't we? What are some ways that we change? Get some feedback tonight. What are some ways that, yes, what's that? We get older. That's right. That's it. That's good. Yes. Location, right? That's good. What are some other ways we change? Our beliefs. Yeah. Good. Actions. Right. Moody. Yeah. That's, yeah. Good one. Anybody else? I heard some amens on that one. Yeah, it's true. We are a people that are subject to change and quite easily many times. But what makes God faithful is His immutability, that He is unchangeable. And just a few verses to glance at. They're written there, but we'll just go through them there. You see Deuteronomy 7:9. I got it up on the screen. And know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to a thousand generations. Psalm 102:25-27. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. And it says, they shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? We notice Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness or neither shadow of turning. There is no shadows in God, because He doesn't change. And what an encouraging truth about our God that we think about tonight. Notice number three under this point A there in your notes. To change in any way would mean that God would have to change for the better, which He's already absolutely perfect, or for the worse, not possible with absolute perfection. God cannot be improved upon. He is totally perfect in His being in every way. You know, some would say that there are certain of His attributes that would be in competition with one another. Some would say, well, hey, God's wrath is in competition, if you will, with God's love. But it's not. Some would say, well, it's God's mercy that mellows out His wrath. Well, no, God doesn't ever need to be mellowed out, because He's perfect in all of His attributes. And we can't think of God in that context, because there is no change ever. And what He is 100% perfect at, and it does not change at all. But we do know that when she has is perfect. So we see this, that in letter B, what makes God so unchangeable? What makes God so unchangeable? Well, number one, notice God is unchangeable because He is the self-existent one. In other words, He is free from all causes. He's the creator. God is not influenced by anything outside of Himself. And we see that the Lord is unchangeable because He is the self-existing one. He has no beginning and He has no end. And one of the reasons that we know that God does not change is because of His self-existence. As was mentioned earlier, we change very easily. We are so fickle many times. I mean, like, you know, one of the things that can change us in a heartbeat is maybe it's the weather. You know, maybe it's the weather. Maybe it's somebody that just drives super, super slow in front of you when you're in a hurry. That's one of my hardest ones. But You know, there are so many reasons out there that we can change in our mood, change in our actions, but God does not. Number two, God is unchangeable because He is the infinite one. God is free of all limitations. We can measure out things, can't we? I mean, we can measure our homes. We can measure this church. We can measure distances where we're traveling. We can measure the earth even. They know the size of the earth. And of course, all the talking about, you know, standing in awe of God, they've measured the distance to the stars and the ones they know of anyway. But, you know, the truth is, God is immeasurable. He is infinite. And boy, that is such an encouragement to me tonight, and I hope it is to you, that our God is not going to change because He is the self-existing one and He is the infinite one. God doesn't run out of anything. Amen. I was bad about in Bible college, and my buddy Thomas Engel, who y'all met several times, and by the way, I talked to him earlier, and he told me to tell everyone hello, that they're in Florida and things are going well. They've had in a couple meetings, but there was one time I think I really embarrassed Brother Thomas. I had a bad habit, and sometimes I still do, but I'm getting better, I think. Y'all pray for me. But I had a bad habit of driving on fumes. Does anybody else like just doing that for a hobby? None of y'all? Oh, I see pointing fingers. I ain't saying nothing though, okay? No. With all honesty, you know, I think, okay, listen, I can make it this far and whatever, but this time I did not judge it. I did not judge it right. So I had Thomas, we ran out of gas and we were in my wife's little red car that she had in Bible college, and I can't remember what kind of car it was, but thankfully when we ran out of gas, it was on a flat road, but I had Thomas, we had to push it to the gas station. That thankfully was only a quarter of a mile away, but it still, it was something else, you know. It's just a bad feeling when you run out of gas like that, you know. And you know, but one thing that we got to realize tonight, folks, the God that we know and love and serve, the God of the Bible, He never runs out of anything. He's at full capacity, infinitely, of all His attributes. And He's faithful. That's why He can be faithful. So the third point we see here, why does it matter that God is faithful? What does it matter to us? Well, number one, without a clear view of His faithfulness, you will have a little testimony for God. Basically, you can clear that. You can define that first point as this. We won't have any stability. Yeah, if we can't depend on the Lord and in the sense of trusting His faithfulness, it will certainly distort our view of who He is. Kind of back, remember the other week we had the wallet, the illustration of the wallet picture that you find in the billfold or whatnot, and if we would have put God's picture, if that be possible, up on the screen of what it looks like, of what He looks like in our minds, what would it look like? And we don't want that to be distorted. We want a clear view of God, of who He is. And as you notice here, we would not be stable at all. Here's some areas that it would show in our lives. Notice there, number one, if we don't have a clear view of the faithfulness of God, number one, you will be plagued by sins you cannot overcome. That is a something that we just will constantly struggle with and not believe that, okay, we get to the point where I guess God can't get me through this. But then you think of verses that make it clear. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is what? That's what the Word says. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. And so what the Word of God tells us is that there is not a temptation on this earth that God cannot deliver you from. And He will, as we look to Him. doesn't mean we're talking sinless perfection here. It means that we trust in the faithfulness of God to see us through struggles. And we trust in that. Number two, it will result in you may be unsure of your salvation. There are times that I struggled with my salvation. Probably I would, when I look back at it, I struggled with the assurance of my salvation. I think when I got it the most, Brother Christian, is when I got counsel from my mentor and good friend, Dennis Clements. He said, Brinson, are you trusting in what you have done? Or are you trusting in what God has done? And what I understood him to be saying, and it made sense to me, is I was putting at the time a lot of stock in maybe a prayer. Okay. But what I got to get back to is the fact that God saved me when I called out to Him. When I put my faith in Christ, when I placed my faith in resting upon Jesus Christ, God saved me and I know it. I know without a shadow of a doubt in 2002, God did a work in me and I was born again. It was a work that He did. And it wasn't resting upon some formality, but it was resting upon the faithfulness of His Word. And that's what He says. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. That's who God says He is. And that's what God promises. And He doesn't change. And when He says that, He's going to do it. I like the illustration that Jim Berg gave. He said, God doesn't is from sit up in heaven thinking, okay, Jennings here, Brinson Jennings is calling out to you for salvation. No, I didn't. When I said, for I love the world, I didn't mean Brinson Jennings. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean Timothy Jamansky. No, didn't mean that. No, of course not. That's absurd. God means everybody. And when He says, when His creation, when people, sinners, call out to Him genuinely, sincerely from the heart, and they utter faith in the Most High God, He's faithful to save. He's faithful. We don't have to doubt that. Did God really save me? Well, if you called out to Him by faith, yes. And we run into the same obstacle many times as believers. A lot of believers, as you notice there, it says you may be unsure of the forgiveness of sins. Some of you tonight perhaps are sadly carrying around past sins that God has already forgiven you, but you haven't let Him forgive you. You carry that guilt around and you have not forgiven yourself because God's forgiven you. But God is faithful. When He says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, He is what? What's the word say? Faithful. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some of our unrighteousness. No. All. You're exactly right. Glad you caught that. Every one of them. And my friend tonight, I don't know if I'm speaking to you, but if you're hanging on some sin that you just have not let God forgive you, you've confessed it perhaps, but you still carry around that guilt as if maybe you're not forgiven, maybe as if God is still hanging that over your head, I want to tell you, you're not trusting in the faithfulness of God. And you need to trust in that tonight and just walk in liberty of being forgiven from your faithful Savior. But then notice, you can be easily discouraged by loneliness. Hebrews 13:5, the Lord gave us a great promise. He said that He would never leave us nor forsake us. He said that He would always be with us. Do we have Hebrews 13:5? Okay. And then we also see that many times it can be due to being lonely, but God has promised to be with us always. Then notice also you can easily be discouraged by your own failures. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet He abideth what? Faithful. He cannot deny Himself. What does that mean? Well, that means, folks, even when you and I, and this does happen, when we are not truly believing God for who He is, it doesn't change who He is. He's faithful. He's going to be faithful. Even when my faith wavers, in my mind I doubt God's goodness or doubt God's provisions in some way. And it does happen to all of us. God does not change one bit. He's faithful. And then notice that last point. You can be tortured by fear of what is going to happen. Notice Psalm 121 verse 8. Says, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And if we as God's people do not trust in the faithfulness of God, there are many times that we can be tortured by fear. And we know that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Notice number two, not only do we see that it would hinder our testimony and our stability, but without a clear view of His faithfulness, you will have little trust for God. That's basically the things that, I just want you guys right now to take a moment and just think about the trials that you're currently in right now. And everybody's in one in some fashion. Maybe there's a person you know that you're praying for, burdened about. Maybe something in your own life. But what we really need to realize, do we really trust God that He's going to work in these situations? Sometimes we do not believe that way. It is very hurtful, harmful, I should say, to our walk with God. He promises. His promises will have little impact upon you as you think about them through Scripture. Your prayer life will have little impact because you don't really believe God's listening. But folks, when we get back to meditating on that God is faithful, His promises will mean the world to us. When I think about the very fact that the Lord says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. When I think of great promises throughout the Word of God that if we ask anything according to His will, it shall be done unto us. I think of so many others in the promises of the Word of God that are so comforting. But they can only be as comforting as much as we believe them to be true. And so we have to let that be an anchor in our lives. And then our prayer life, again, as it goes back to that. And you think about the times that God has provided in your life. I can look back over my life and just realize the faithfulness of God. Times where you just weren't sure how it's all going to work out. How's God going to provide this? How's God going to help us here? What's going to happen? And God always comes through. I remember in Niger, Mary Ann was probably about 3 years old, and she got some bad, really bad infection, and ended up having some sort of cyst on her back, and it was growing fast, and we didn't really know what to do. There was one clinic that it could have worked out where we could have taken her to, but we were just concerned. And for that part, and here got this precious little girl who's in a lot of pain, and here I am in the middle of the Sahara Desert, and with just very, very poor medical care, and just didn't know what to do. And during that time we were praying, there was an aviation ministry that was located about 700-800 miles south of us that would help out in times like this. Well, we prayed and said, Lord, we really need You to do something here. We just don't know what to do. And sure enough, this pilot had an open schedule for that slot to come the next morning and to get us and Mary Ann and take us down to that Galimi hospital. And what it was a mission hospital where there were Christian missionaries that they used it as a ministry to the locals. We went down there and we had doctors that were able to immediately administer aid and help to Mary Ann and was able to open it up. and do what they needed to do. And I look back on that. And, of course, she recovered from it with no problems. But I just think about those things. And I just say, that's the faithfulness of God. Folks, we can depend on our Lord tonight. I don't care what you're going through. You can depend on your God tonight. He's trustworthy because He is faithful. Look there at the conclusion. It says, my soul can rest because God's faithfulness is more than enough for me. Let's say that together, church. My soul can rest because God's faithfulness is more than enough for me. Let's pray.